Welcome to Up Nerd. Today we'll be talking about Live, Die, Repeat, or Edge of Tomorrow, or both. I am not alone. I am joined by my co-host today, Abby. Say hello.
Hello. I'm Abby.
So, we watched Live, Die, Repeat.
Hello. I'm Abby.
Yeah, anyway, we watched Live, Die, Repeat, starring Tom Cruise and Emily Blunt. Oh, boy. So,
hello. I'm Abby.
Time to restart again.
Start the day over.
This came out in 2014. I wanted to do it essentially because I had good memories of it. Turns out I'd never actually watched it. I've read the book, never got around to watching it. I've had it on Blu-ray for 8 years, 9 years actually, and just never got around to it, which makes me wonder how many more of those discs have I not already got around to watching that are in our collection? I chose it because I just didn't want to do another Bond movie. No, I just wanted something a little different, something that wasn't a spy movie.
Hi, welcome to the Up Nerd channel where I actually kind of gaslit the uneven flow into talking about Bond
ending
all day, every day.
Just shambling along like some sort of zombie.
Edge of Tomorrow is a 2014 American science fiction action film directed by Doug Liman and written by Christopher McQuarrie, loosely based on the Japanese novel All You Need Is Kill.
Yes.
By Hiroshi Sakurazaka, starring Kron Trues and Emily Blomp. The film takes place in a future where most of Europe is occupied by an alien race.
After 5 years of war and humanity pretty much consistently getting their butts kicked, they finally won one. And that's thanks to Emily Blunt's character in this movie. Tom Cruise plays a general who is unceremoniously recruited for the front lines, we'll say.
He plays major.
No, that's right. Yes, he starts out as a major. It's the general that busts him down. Thank you. He ends up on the front lines. Turns out the aliens were waiting for them. But he reawakens on the same day.
After he dies.
Yes. The film then follows him as he tries to figure out why the same day keeps getting looped over and over again. As soon as he dies, he wakes up. He is playing the character William Cage in this. No relation to Johnny Cage, star of Mortal Kombat.
Edge of Tomorrow is a 2014 American
science
fiction film.
But this is the story of William Cage. The rest of the movie is concerned with he figures out why it is he's looping and at the same time tries to end the war, which humanity has been just getting stomped for X amount of time.
Is it called Edge of Tomorrow now, or is it actually called Live, Die, Repeat?
Yeah, the Blu-ray disc has Live, Die, Repeat in large on the cover, and then it just says Edge of Tomorrow.
See, I've been looking at the promotional stuff, and Live, Die, Repeat is like the promotional quote, right? Like,
yeah. Now, originally in the US in particular, it was just called Edge of Tomorrow.
That's how I remembered it.
Yes.
And then when you said last episode on the Up Nerd Podcast Network, Live, Die, Repeat, I was like, hey, wait a second. Isn't that movie that has like two names?
Yes. They should have just stuck with Live, Die, Repeat. It's a better title. Edge of Tomorrow is just kind of...
It's very 1930s. The Edge of Tomorrow. Yeah, he plays a coward.
And so I liked this movie a lot. Mm-hmm. And it's one of the many reasons that it works for me is that Tom Cruise is not Tom Cruise in this. An astute Up Nerd listener mentioned that this film is, in a lot of ways, War of the Worlds, but done correctly. It starts with his character. Like War of the Worlds, one of my problems with it is he is Tom Cruise. He's good at everything. He doesn't fail at things. In this one, he's a coward. He's bad at being a soldier. He does not want to be a soldier.
It's a World War II parallel, right? So people are getting drafted who wouldn't otherwise be soldiers. So because he did a little bit of ROTC for college credit or something like that, so that like, good enough, we'll take you. The you can't hold a gun, kind of.
Humanity is also losing. So yeah, presumably the actual decent soldiers are long past at this point. So there's that. But what this succeeds at is he is very much closer to an everyman here. Despite being part of the military, he's much closer to being an everyman here than he was at any point in War of the Worlds, where he's just sort of, he was excellent at everything and it's one of the main reasons for me why that movie just absolutely fails. And it's interesting because the aliens in both are similar in terms of how they're depicted, and a lot of the behaviors and even some of the scenes and shots get reused between them in certain ways. But it's all just, it all just works better here because the characters are a lot better here. There's care given to them. There's a sense of deliberacy in its filmmaking that's just nowhere in War of the Worlds.
Interesting also, we sort of find out, is that Emily Blunt has been in three separate time loop.
This is the third one, movie? Yes. It's filmed at one point in the same house that was in Looper, which is the previous time loop movie she was in. Seems like everybody, there's some similarities too, because Bill Paxton is in this. He is excellent. He is a drill sergeant. He is Sergeant Farrell in this. He is fantastic. And he's another guy, always seems to be shooting aliens, including Aliens. A film, which is a sequel to a film we did on the Up Nerd Podcast Network, Alien. This was really good, and it differs from the book. The book, the aliens are a lot less intelligent. They're unable to set traps or things like that. I think it's to the movie's benefit that they kind of spruced them up a bit. The action sequences and everything, like, money was clearly put into this. And yet it's very realistic in terms of the props are all physical.
Yeah, we have not yet fallen into the 2020 cusp of just make movies in the computer.
Yeah, and that was apparently a debate, because the suits that the characters wear when deployed are sort of heavy kind of exoskeleton. And in real life, those are quite heavy. They're roughly 85 kilograms or so each. So significant weight to put on a person when you're filming a movie the entire day. It's not CGI, and it really kind of gives a heft to everything in those action scenes. It was beautifully shot too. In a previous episode, I mentioned that action works best when it's in the center of the frame and you can see where everything is, what's going on, and you have an idea of where things are in relation to each other if there are cuts. This film does it perfectly. It's very much sort of the Fury Road school of filmmaking. Put everything in the center of the frame, make sure people can see it and know what's going on.
Yeah, I agree with that. It was nice to have the fight on the beach because it takes place during the day. So, like, it, you can actually see it versus, what was it, a couple of the Disney Star Wars things, the Ahsoka or Ahsoka something or other, where we were watching it and it was actually kind of difficult to see what was going on half the time. And again, that's the whole just make the movie in the computer, just make the TV show in the computer, which... clearly they've done some CGI, but at least we can see what's going on. I do find that that went away when we went into the latter third of the movie. So the end of the movie, it's still very dark. Like, it's difficult to see.
Well, it's also towards the end of the day. So the loop is played over the span of really a single day. And so by the end of the movie, it is now dark, yes, because it's also night. They've had to travel to the Louvre as the final destination where the big boss is, and that's where they had to go to have their boss battle. But it takes into account that there's going to be some travel time. It's not still going to be daylight.
Yeah, no, I know, but you could have choices. There could be lights on. Who knows? I don't know.
I'm pretty sure the mimics
have light.
The mimics, by the way, are the aliens in this. That's their name. I'm pretty sure the mimics are floodlights around where their one vulnerability is hanging out.
Yeah.
Just throwing that out there, that they probably don't have an airstrip that says, hey, bomb this.
Listen, where does the music come from, right? Like, there's, you can excuse a lot.
I guess, but putting it in broad daylight could be a little much.
It doesn't
have to
be broad daylight. I'm just saying, I found it dark.
It's lit well enough at the end, I don't know, for me. The only downside of the movie I will mention is a couple things. Number one, the plot revolves around Tom Cruise's character, William Cage, discovering why he's in the loop. And they eventually figure out that it was the blood of an alpha covering him that gave him the ability to be looped for a day. They discover this because Emily Blunt's character had the same thing happen to her. She was eventually attacked and bled out enough that she lost the ability to live that day over and over again after death. The two of them attempt to discover where the main alien router essentially is.
They're kind of a hive mind.
Yes.
The Omega?
Yes,
Omega. You destroy that, you win the war.
Yep.
That's your video game. You know, massive glowing weak spot for massive damage.
Yeah. And it's fine, by the way. I mean, we don't need a whole lot on the aliens for an action movie to succeed. We don't need to know every single thing about them. Mm. It's fine. So they discover that there is a device they can use to find said Omega. They get the device from the general that busted Major Cage down. And you pointed this out loud, because unlike me, you just say every thought out loud that comes to you, especially during shows.
You're thinking maybe grilled cheese for dinner.
So the issue is, they get the device, and then for some reason leave. There was no reason for them to leave. What they should have done is take the device, stick it in Cruz's character, find out where the Omega is, and then shoot him in the head. They have done this in similar circumstances a number of times. The reason they don't do it this time is they need a reason why Cage and his group can fail and have consequences. Go to leave, they get shot at by the guards who, I don't know, I guess the general didn't trust them even after saying that he did and giving them a top secret device. But in any case, they get in a car crash and Cruz's character bleeds.
Oh no, and now he can't do the loop.
Yeah,
he can't be a looper anymore.
He's mortal. Or if he dies, nothing happens. Nobody remembers anything.
He just dies. He dies in the real world. He dies in real life.
There were better ways to have done it. I feel like they could have, you know, he could have been cut by one of the aliens or something. It's his last chance or something like that. There was no reason for them to try to drive away and escape.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it was to have more time pass so the finale could be later at night, or I have no idea. But if you're going to make a concession, I feel like they're was probably a better way to do it.
So that's the thing, right? Is that he, every time he dies, he wakes up at the same point that same day. Or the
on
day
your feet, maggot.
Yep. He wakes up and he's just about to be thrown into the prey. It's fun, actually, seeing how they dealt with that, because totally by accident, we have been through a number of episodes of the Up Nerd Podcast Network episodes, where we have dealt with things that have like a time loop or twinsies, right? A couple of the X-Files episodes, one of the best, one of the worst. Fight Club, one of the worst, is you're gonna throw a fit, but I'm gonna say twins. So we have to see everything twice. And they did that the wrong way because it gets boring because we've already seen this and I don't want to see it again, just slightly different. One of the better X-Files episode, Bad Blood, is kind of more of a Rashomon thing. It's telling the same story beats, but from different angles. That's done extremely well. So you're seeing the same thing multiple times, but very, very differently. And that's how Live, Die, Repeat, Edge of Tomorrow, whatever you want to call it, that's how they approached their time loop. I was honestly more worried going into this about how they were going to approach that. I wasn't certain how they were going to approach it, but they did a really, really commendable job of having us see the same day over and over and over and over and over again. Like we, the audience, I think probably see it 30 times, 50 times maybe.
I don't think it's that many, but
more than 10, right? It's more than one would reasonably expect before you get bored of seeing the same thing. But they did it. Those crazy boys, they did it. So that was pleasantly surprised. So if you're into like time loop stuff or just kind of alternate reality things, it was really quite an interesting take on it. There are interesting avenues, I would say, because it came out during the movie because my mind is so full of ideas and excellent thoughts that they simply have to effervesce into the ether of our living room whenever I have them. But part of the big thing is that he can't go to the scientists because when he meets the girl who used to be the time looper before him, I didn't mean to say Looper, but now I'm going to keep saying Looper. When he meets Rita, who was the Looper before him and is kind of mentoring in this, turns out she went to the Brass and was like, hey, I can travel through time, kind of. And they either put her in a psych ward or they cut her up, dissected her for science. The way in which they kind of learn through trial and error by getting a little further in the day and then they die. And then, okay, they know not to do that. And then getting a little further and they die. And then you know, not to do that. But you get a little further every time. There's no reason that could not have been done with like the scientists.
Except so, yes. It would be boring.
You have all the words in the English language and several others in several other languages. You can probably string a couple of those together to make it not boring.
Boring.
Somebody more talented than I.
No, but I'm bored.
There were little things like that, and it
really bored. So bored.
That's the issue that
I'd argue the bigger issue is that we're just sort of told that instead of A, experiencing it or seeing why it would happen. It is a little weird just in terms of, okay, we've already got aliens invading our planet that are these aquatic bug things, which also have no problem digging underground, apparently. The time loop thing is where you draw the line. That's two out there for you. That's the point where you go, we got to dissect some folks.
I'm just saying, because it kind of comes in later on in the movie, right? You were speaking at length about how the movie kind of, it doesn't fall apart, but it is a big, big hole. When they have the MacGuffin, they got to put the MacGuffin in the McCruise, and then he'll be able to see where the Nexus is, and that's where they go to hit the big giant
globe. Omega, spot, not the Nexus. Assume Star Trek 7.
Whatever. That there's no reason for that to have progressed in that way, except that like, a car chase is kind of exciting.
I will say that the nitpicks or our issues, they don't impact my enjoyment of the film. They're just kind of things. If the movie wasn't well made, they wouldn't stick out as much as they do. Mm. But those are the two biggest issues. The other one I wanted to hint at that is not an issue, thankfully, they didn't make Rita fall in love with William Cage. There's an abrupt sort of kiss at the end that clearly takes the character by surprise. Part of that is because in real life, apparently it was improvised, but it makes sense. It's not sort of, they seemingly do not have a romantic relationship. Which I think makes sense. It would have rubbed me the wrong way if somehow, you know, they fall in love during the looping, and it would have been too cliched.
There's that. They skirted it. And I think you and I talked at the time about how this movie went through a number of different drafts. Clearly, it has two names, right? So this has gone through a bunch of writers a bunch of times, and a lot's been changed. For me, the big thing that glares out is that, like, because it's based on a Japanese novel that got turned into a manga, she's got a big sword. And that sword is just not used at all, really. It's like, it's just there. It's not even kind of indicative of, like, her character or anything. It's just like, it's cool to have a big sword. Because this is an anime.
Well, to be fair, in the book, and presumably in this, the sword seems to be a blade off of a chopper, but in the book, she uses a sword because the guns tend to jam. And she.
See, that's interesting.
And during the loops, she would run out of ammo a lot, which I don't know, ask for more ammo. But obviously, you can only carry so much. I don't know. They could have mentioned something, I guess, but it does kind of make sense. I mean, that's what I had figured.
It's a Japanese-based protagonist. They have a big sword. It's a rule. It's been a rule ever since Final Fantasy VII. It's the Buster Sword. It's just kind of there. I really like the design of the aliens, and I like that you get to see them.
Yeah, they don't look fake. It's a good design. They are very tentacly.
Yeah, they're like squiddies from the Matrix. But
yes, yeah, it was very good. And like I say, I didn't feel like I was watching a Tom Cruise vanity project.
Yeah, that's a good point. I did feel like I was watching a Tom Cruise movie. The problem is he's such a ding dang good actor. I have feelings on Tom Cruise that are really not necessarily based on any kind of objective evidence, but I think we all have strong feelings on Tom Cruise one way or another. He is a very good actor, though, and he's enjoyable to watch on the screen. He is a professional. No, I mean, you can't deny that he's a movie star. you know, and he's very, very good at what he does.
You can't deny he has been in a movie.
He has been in at least two movie where he good, probably even more.
Yeah. So you mentioned this film went through a number of rewrites, a couple of notes on that. I mean, number one, the ending was changed at some point. One of the concepts for the ending essentially had Tom Cruise and co losing. He is killed and it loops and he gets killed a little earlier, meaning that the mimics have control of the looping again and humanity is kind of screwed. I'm glad they didn't do that. And the final ending of this, spoiler alert for this film, but in the ending of this, humankind wins. They destroy the glowing weak point for massive damage and all of the aliens just sort of stop and are treated to sort of a victory speech kind of thing at the end. It's interesting because it kind of stinks for William Cage because he can tell only one person about it instead of being the hero that saved mankind.
Yeah, but, you know, I'll take it.
Such is life.
I'll take it.
It's somewhat open in terms of we don't know much about the alien. And on that note, they've been trying to get a sequel or a television series off the ground for years, essentially ever since this came out. I don't think that's a great idea.
No, no. No,
I
this
feel
movie's
like...
time has come and gone. It's like fashion, right? You got to wait 20, 30 years for it to come back. Like the 90s were kind of coming back for a little bit.
I feel like anything they would do with it would essentially diminish this film. I think the aliens work better without knowing more about them.
It has a beginning, a middle, and an end. There's really not that much to, you know?
Yeah. It's the old Star Wars Han Solo theory that I like to use, which is how much cooler is Star Wars as a story if we don't know A, Han Solo's beginning, or B, his ending, if he could just still be out there flying somewhere or something, some adventure we never heard about or saw on screen before. Instead, no, Star Wars has to explain every little facet of every character.
Yeah, we've gotten too pedantic.
Yeah,
it
falls apart.
Everything needs to be a ding-dang cinematic universe. Everything needs to be a media conglomerate. It does not. It's had a book and a movie, and that's fine.
Yeah.
That's great.
Doesn't need to be anything more. So
yep.
I wouldn't want anything more beyond this. I think this works well enough on its own. There's no reason or anything for sequels or anything. Just let it go.
Just let it go. It's okay. It's okay to just have one
nice
thing.
If it loves you,
it'll
come back to you.
No. Okay. We're saving that for the trash bag. That for the trash bag. Our new Up Nerd podcast. Up Nerd podcast episode.
Yes,
podcast
that we're not doing. Anyway,
that we're not doing, but we are doing. It's called the trash bag. Going to the trash bag.
No,
it's fine. It's perfectly fine to have one nice thing. You know, you don't need a whole China set. You can just have a nice plate.
And probably the reason this hasn't been given a sequel at all is because, unfortunately, it just didn't do well at the box office in North America. So domestically, did pretty well worldwide, enough that it ended up turning a little bit of a profit. They spent a ton of money marketing it. And obviously, we mentioned it before, but this was not an inexpensive movie to make. And it just didn't perform all that well domestically for whatever reason. It fell into that. It's really annoying for me, too. I watch this movie and I like it. It's an action movie with a little more to it than most. And I'll get to that in a second. And then 2 years later is another movie I absolutely loved. One of my favorite movies of all time. But Mad Max Fury Road came out. And also did not do well at the box office. And it's frustrating because these are both well-made movies. I mean, Fury Road is chef's kiss. Honestly, I think one of the best-made films of all time.
Since Star Trek.
No.
For Escape from New York or whatever.
It's really well-made and it didn't do well. And there's a bit of a frustration with that, especially now for me. because I watch a lot of the, or I see some of the action movies, and they really fall into two categories now, and neither of them are categories that something like this or Fury Road would fall into. You have your sort of Fast and the Furious-esque, absolutely insane stunts, crazy stuff, not even slightly realistic action movie with wafer thin plot. Some of the silliest things put to film, like Vin Diesel will taste the sidewalk and go, there's only one guy, there's only one man in this town that uses nitrous. So there's that, or there is your Punisher-esque revenge killing John Wicks and everything, which the John Wick series, at least, well made for the most part, and tries to rise above your standard revenge fare. And also, I mean, at least with it, the action is generally solid and refreshing. But it just feels like we're just doing those two action movies and there's no room for anything else.
And then also, literally, we are just doing John Wick. There's like four of them now.
Yeah, well, that's why. And then Fast and Furious, there's what, like 11 and like, then some like, spin-offs or something?
There's a lot. So no, we can have one nice thing. It's nice to have nice things. It's okay. We can just have one nice thing. And we now we have that one nice thing. And then when we see it, we're like, wow, that was a nice thing. That was great. What an experience. Let's go listen to a podcast about it and maybe read the book. And then you're set. You can use your imagination to fill in the details.
I wanted my Live, Die, Repeat lunchbox.
That it does. It did actually just kind of hit me that if you're going to name a movie called Live, Die, Repeat, you better set it up for a sequel, right? I feel like that's kind of on them. Yeah, I mean, it's a movie with a bunch of names. Bunch of names. No, very, very interesting. I enjoyed the movie. I don't know that I would watch it again. I'm glad that I saw it. It was an enjoyable. It was a nice thing. We had a nice thing. We have a nice thing.
That's going to do it for the Unfair Podcast. It's just good. I mean, there's not a lot to divulge or discuss here. The action is solid. It's well worth watching if you haven't seen it all.
Yep.
Yes.
I don't got much to add. It's a good movie. It's a perfectly good movie. It's a nice thing. I am not as excited about it as you are. I'm more intrigued, me with my massive intellect and my beautiful, bounteous brain. I appreciate this movie because it got me thinking about how we were just doing time movies for a little bit there. Apparently also with Emily Blunt, like almost exclusively with Emily Blunt. So that I find those kinds of things fascinating. But otherwise, I don't know. It's a good movie. I don't know that I'd watch it again. I'm not as passionate about this particular movie as I would be, say, Die Another Day or something like that. It's a perfectly good movie. And I think we got what we were going to get out of it.
So up next for the show, in 2 weeks' time, will be top three, bottom three of The Witcher. Gotta get witching. I mean, watching.
Hey, hey, the uneven flow. Hey, hey, the uneven flow. Aren't you going to ask me? Aren't you going to ask me what my fine you pick is?
No, because we have a Patreon and we're going to check in and see what will be next.
Oh, okay. But after that.
Sure, fine, whatever.
After that, aren't you going to ask me? Aren't you going to ask me what that is?
With fine, my fine what's your you next pick choice?
Well, I'm giving you the choice. I have both hands behind my back and you guess which one's got the quarter or whatever. So do we want to continue on the theme of time loop or do we want to continue on the theme of anime protagonist? You get 13 and a half seconds before I...
None of the above.
No, seriously, do we want to continue on the theme of time loop? Because I feel like I've been doing that a lot. Like I've been sort of responding to movies that are also kind of similar. If we want to continue on the theme of time loop, Caddyshack. Not Caddyshack.
Do you mean Groundhog Day?
Live, Die, Repeat. Shut up. Live, Die, Repeat. I'm going to reset the day. Hold on.
That part staying in.
So, hey, if we want to stay with the theme, of Time Loop, my fine you pick is Groundhog Day.
Caddyshack, otherwise known as Caddyshack.
So hey, if we want to stick with the theme of Time Loop, my fine you pick is Bill Murray's Caddy Busters.
Damn it.
Groundhog Day. I've never seen it. Apparently, it's supposed to be quite good.
You can reach us via email.
Next fine you pick is going to be one from our Patreon supporter. It's a plural. We have more than one. Quick.
As long as you don't name Die Another Day, we might be okay. All right. So.
It's illegal to prescribe. It's illegal to. Oh, got to reset the day. Hold on.
All right. Yeah, we're gonna
it's
be here forever.
To subscribe to your own Patreon with your husband's credit card and just add and Die Another Day, or it should be anyway.
Have a good day, everybody.
Here are several of my thoughts freeform from my mind.
You're going to be here forever.